All right, this morning we're going to get away from our Hebrews series for just a week, with this being Halloween. I had a few things I wanted to share with you this morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And let me say, first of all, that the Bible does not speak directly about Halloween, because Halloween didn't exist in Bible days. So what do we do about the things that are not specifically mentioned in the Scriptures? Well, let me tell you, what we can't do is to assume that because something is not specifically mentioned in Scripture, then God must be somehow okay with it. The matter of same-sex marriage is an issue in our day. It's not mentioned in Scripture. But there are principles in Scripture, such as we know that the Bible speaks to marriage as being between a man and woman. And from the principles and precepts of Scripture, we can know that God is not okay with gay marriage. And this also applies in the area of Halloween. Now, I want you to listen to me closely. God has given us, and by us, I'm talking about true believers, He's given us all that we need in order to make informed decisions about these things. Let's just take a look at our resources for just a moment. First resource we have is we have the entirety of the Word of God, which is, by the way, our final authority. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, let me remind you, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now, I want to remind you of the fourfold profitability that's spoken of there. First of all, Scripture is profitable for doctrine. It shows us what is right. It's profitable for reproof. It shows us what is wrong. It's profitable for correction. It shows us how to take what is wrong in our life and make it right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. It shows us how to stay right. Those four things are in those verses there. And it gives us all that we need to mature in our faith and have what we need to do the good works that God would have us to do as Christians. Now, the Bible gives us God's principles, it gives us God's precepts, and those are eternal. They apply to both time and eternity. We could say that they're timeless. Now, God does not change, and because He does not change, His precepts, His principles do not change. Second resource that we have, not only do we have the entirety of the Word of God, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Spirit that lives within each and every Christian, He teaches us these things that we need to know. And He uses the Word of God to teach us those principles and precepts. And we can know in our heart and in our spirit, the Holy Spirit that God's given us, the things that are right and the things that are wrong. May not want to acknowledge it, but we know that the Spirit's going to teach us the right thing. Now, the third thing that we have is we have our body, soul, and mind that have been saved by God's grace to be lived in love for the Lord and in obedience to God. In other words, He's to be Lord of our lives. We've been saved. We've been given spiritual life. We ought to be able to discern these things. And if our love is right for the Lord, it ought not be an argument. Mark 12, verse number 30, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. If we have our love right, then we're not going to have a problem with these things. Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus asked a question. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say. And we can call Him Lord, and I've said this before, Lord Jesus Christ is not the Lord's name. Lord is who He is. He is Lord. He has the right to call the shots in our lives. And if we call Him the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to allow Him to be Lord in our lives. We ought to allow Him to call the shots. The things that are in our lives and not pleasing to Him, we ought to wake up and realize those things. Now I want us to consider the verse of our text here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 22. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22 is the verse I want to use for our text this morning. Very simple verse says, abstain from all appearance of evil. What does this directive mean? What does it mean to abstain from all appearance of evil? Well, first of all, let me tell you what the phrase does not mean. Abstain from all appearance of evil does not mean that a Christian should refuse to do anything or participate in any activity that is thought by others to be evil or sinful. I can guarantee you, the activity that I've asked you to take part in for Halloween in distributing these tracts to the trick-or-treaters that come to your door, this lost and dying world that we live in, there are going to be some folks, in fact, there could be quite a few, that do not think that that's the right thing to do. They think that you ought not to be trying to persuade little kids to come to Jesus. On many occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ did things which were thought by many Jews of His day to be evil. Remember when He and His disciples plucked grain from the field on the Sabbath and ate it? Others who saw it were persuaded that what they were doing was wrong, as in Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8. Remember in that same chapter, the Pharisees' reaction when He healed a man on the Sabbath? They thought that he had done wrong, that he had sinned. Matthew 12, verses 9 through 15. Not going to take time to look these verses up, but you check out the stories. And again, they were outraged when Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath in the synagogue, according to Luke 13, verses 11 through 17. But listen, Jesus did what was right. He did the right thing, always did the right thing. Just because other people thought that what He was doing was wrong did not mean that they were right and He was wrong. Now, I want you to understand that there are also people who thought that the preaching and teaching of the apostles were wrong. In fact, Paul himself persecuted the followers of Christ before his own conversion because he was utterly convinced that what they did and the way of life they were following was just plain wrong. Plenty of people thought that what they were doing were wrong, but that didn't make it wrong. Much of what Christians are commanded by God to do are things that others believe to be wrong. It should be of no concern to us whether someone believes what we do is wrong or not. Because our rule of faith and practice is not according to the standards set by other people. It is God's Word. So, abstain from all appearance of evil does not mean that you should not do things that other people are persuaded you should not do. Christians are not to be slaves to the opinions and values of others. So, what does this phrase mean? Abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? Well, the word abstain is a verb that means to hold oneself from. Therefore, what we have here is a command to pull yourself away from something, to draw back from something. Yet it's the word appearance that causes problems for many reading the Bible. Because too frequently, insufficient study results in the reader thinking that this word refers only to what something looks like. But a closer examination reveals that this word appearance refers to something else. This word refers to visible form, outward show. But the word could also be used in the sense of kind, species, or class. Evil refers to that which is hurtful or evil in effect or influence. So Paul's not telling us to pull away from everything that appears to others to be evil. He's telling us to withdraw from every kind of evil, from every sort of wickedness, from every class of wrongdoing. To put it another way, there's no kind of association with evil or sin which should be acceptable for a Christian to engage in. So we see here a principle is established in the Christian life. We're to shrink away from that is wrong. We're to withdraw from what is sinful. But if what we are doing is the right thing to do, even if others think it's wrong, we're under no such obligation. Every year on October 31st, we know is Halloween. It falls on this Friday this year. And throughout our country, the campaign is already underway to promote the celebration of witches and hobgoblins and occultism and death and all sorts of wickedness. Now, I'm not railing on anybody this morning, but I would like you to listen carefully for a few minutes. And I want to give you 7 reasons why Christians should not celebrate Halloween. We should not celebrate Halloween with or like the world does. And I want to give you 7 reasons this morning why I believe Christians should not celebrate Halloween. Number one, because it's associated with evil. Our text says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Very clearly, that establishes God's will regarding matters that are evil. Abstain from all of them. Withdraw from every one of them. Don't participate in any of them. I am not saying that we as Christians should not celebrate Halloween because some people think it's wrong. What I am saying is that we should not celebrate Halloween because it is most definitely associated with evil. And because it's associated with evil, we should not participate in the world's celebration of it. I practice what I preach and teach on this. Our daughter's coming in to town this week. And you could ask her, you could ask my son. Our children were not raised to participate in Halloween except to use it as an opportunity to witness to the trick-or-treaters that came to our door by handing out tracts along with the candy, which is what I've asked you to do as a church. So, I know what I'm saying, and our children did not miss out on Halloween. We would tell them why we do not celebrate it. I think if you explain it to your children, why they shouldn't be involved in it, and you do it in the right heart spirit, I don't think it'll cause you any problem. There's some who would say, but our children miss out on the candy. All these other children get candy. You know what we told our children? We said, you know, the day after Halloween, all the candy, all the Halloween candy is going to go on sale. And we can get you some candy. We'll get you your favorite type of candy the day after Halloween. It's not a matter of candy. It's a matter of what is right versus what is evil. So, Christians should not celebrate Halloween because it's associated with evil. Secondly, a Christian should not celebrate Halloween because it's worldly. 1 John 2, verse 15 and 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now the world here refers to the world system in this context, and we know that what it's speaking of. Who is trying to drive our world system? Well, it's the devil. The Bible calls him the god of this world. Now we know ultimately God's in control of everything, but God does allow some things to go on, but it's driven by Satan and sin. How can anyone who has ever seen a Halloween celebration deny that it is worldly? What is there about Halloween that is spiritually right? That is, what part of it is of God? What part of it is not self-centered and even sensual? Therefore, because Halloween is worldly, we're forbidden to love the world with its lust and its pride, we, as Christians, should forego its celebration. 1 John 5:19 declares that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now that establishes for us the morality of the world, the morality of mankind, and the level of spirituality of the human race. Things that are worldly, and Halloween is definitely worldly. Don't let anybody suggest to you that it's not. Everything that's worldly, they are things that should be shunned and avoided and passed by in favor of that which is pleasing to God. Number three, not only should we not celebrate Halloween because it's associated with evil and because it's worldly, but number three, because celebrating Halloween is disloyal to Christ. Halloween is verifiably the devil's night. It is recognized by Satan's followers as Satan's celebration. That's an established fact that can be easily verified by anybody who wants to do an internet search of the phrase Halloween evil. I mean, it's going to pop up there and you're going to have all kinds of wickedness and ungodliness and devilishness that comes out of it. Can I tell you that's an established fact that it is Satan's celebration. In fact, I saw someone post something that said to this effect. Said, I'm glad to see that Christians take one day a year to worship the devil. And what they were referring to was Halloween. Glad that Christians take one night a year to take and give over to the devil. What I think needs to be pointed out here is that there's something that we who claim to be blood-bought, blood-washed Christians should exemplify. And that is loyalty to Christ. Do you feel any compulsion to demonstrate loyalty to our Lord? Now listen, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, for your sake, and for the sake of a lost and dying world, we ought to forego Halloween celebration. But most of all, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Because we ought to be loyal to Him. Remember when Joshua confronted the children of Israel in Joshua 24:15? He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." He went on to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then there was Elijah on Mount Carmel facing off with the false prophets. You know what he said to the people there in 1 Kings 18:21? He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Listen, folks, we can't straddle the fence on this. Either you are a child of God, serving God, or you're not. Now, I'm suggesting that Christians should recognize whose side they are on, and it ought to be the Lord's side, and we should show our loyalty to Christ by not getting involved in the way the world celebrates Halloween. A fourth thing I want you to see this morning is that we shouldn't be associated with Halloween the way the world is because it grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse number 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Listen, folks, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We're exhorted in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're exhorted in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom we are supposed to resist steadfast in the faith. I know I paraphrased those, but you can look those up. And that's what it says. The battle lines are clearly drawn. The opponents identified. Question is, whose side are you on? In Luke 11:23, our Lord Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth." There's no, again, no middle ground. There's no fence straddling. Do you not care that the Spirit of God is grieved by that behavior which opposes the Savior, which demeans the Lord, and which denigrates His importance? This Spirit who dwells in each and every Christian seeks to exalt Christ through your life. Is Christ being exalted every day of the year? Or do you just take one day out, like the world, and give it over to the devil? What is the reaction to the precious Holy Spirit when we compromise and even collaborate with the enemy? Do you not understand that he's grieved because our behavior, when it's like that, wounds him? Number 5. Halloween ought not to be a part of a Christian celebration because it trivializes the enemy. We have no more dangerous foe than this one who God calls the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's the one who tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden to sin. By doing that, helped to plunge all of mankind into the darkness of sin. He's the same one who seeks your personal destruction. He wants to destroy your family, your friends, as well as destroy our church and every other true church that belongs to Christ. He's the one we have to contend with on a daily basis. He's the one who Scripture says fills folks' hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Is satanic opposition nothing? Are we to simply ignore this one who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And what about the demons, those foul spirits, the fallen angels who serve him by subverting us? Are these ones who seduce men to depart from the faith, to be laughed at, made light of? Think about what Halloween is. It is a carnival of demonic silliness, a minimizing of demonic terror and danger to childish fun. I guarantee you that 99.99% of that which is associated with Halloween is nonsense and amusement and is exploited by businesses for the sole purpose of generating cash flow. I recently heard a news report that said people now spend more money on Halloween than they do Christmas. I was astounded at that. But listen, do plastic masks or sugar candy make Satan less dangerous than the adversary that he really is? I've encountered some demon-possessed people in my lifetime, being in the ministry. There's nothing to be trivialized. I've observed some of the tragedies that are caused by these foul spirits that are made fun of on Halloween. And I'm here to tell you that making a game of it and pretending that it's all harmless fun is of no benefit at all to the person afflicted by the devil and his demons. It serves no good purpose whatsoever to trivialize our spiritual enemy. On the contrary, it only gives aid and comfort to the enemy by causing those afflicted by him to underestimate the danger and the damage that he can cause. Number 6. Why should Christians not be involved in Halloween celebrations? Number 6, because though it may be lawful, it's not expedient. Listen, folks, not trying to put anybody under the law. And if you choose to take and celebrate Halloween, your pastor still loves you. Yeah, still want the best for you. But listen, Paul, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 10:23, he wrote, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." We recently covered this in our Wednesday evening studies on 1 Corinthians. What did he mean by that? He meant that Christians have great liberty, but that the exercise of Christian liberty must be guided by consideration of whether or not people are edified and whether or not people are built up in the faith. Think long and hard about this. I want you to consider and ponder and meditate for as long as you want. Search the Scriptures to your heart's content. Does celebrating Halloween benefit anyone in a spiritual way? Is Christ exalted? Is God honored? Is the Spirit yielded to by anyone's involvement in a celebration of Halloween? The answer is no. Therefore, it is not expedient. And since it's not expedient, Christians should not be involved in it in any way or to any degree. And last of all, I'll give you number 7 here, and we're done. Christians should not celebrate Halloween like the world, because Halloween has wicked origins. It has wicked origins. I'm unaware of any informed person who does not know of the Druidic origins of the different practices of Halloween. That it is absolutely anti-Christian and it is positively satanic. There's no question that what we know as Halloween comes from a series of pre-Christian practices in Europe and the British Isles. Each practice, from trick-or-treating to the jack-o'-lantern to the bobbing for apples to the witches to the black cats, all the rest have their origins in the wickedness of this festival of death. Now, I'm not going to give you all the background on it. If you like, I've got history on Halloween. You can study it for yourself. But on what occasion was this celebration sanctified and consecrated by God so that it would bless and benefit those who observed it? Now, I know that there was a pope that put himself under the banner of Christianity. He's under that big, large umbrella we talked about of things that call themselves Christians. And the pope tried to meld together the wicked origins of this pagan festival with Christianity. And we know that November 1st is All Saints Day. And it was his attempt by that pope to bring the two together, bring the pagan and the Christian together. But listen, at what point did God's opposition to that which is demonic suddenly change to approval? In God's minds, it's been evil, and it's still evil. God does not change. That which has wicked origins is wicked. That which has wicked origins cannot become good. So since Halloween started out evil, it is still evil. And no Christian should have anything to do with it. So there you have it. 7 reasons why no Christian should celebrate Halloween. If some Christians should disagree with one or more of these reasons and only agree with what just one, could I tell you that one reason should be good enough for you to give God the benefit of the doubt and to remove yourself from and your family from celebrating this wicked holiday? Look at Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll close. Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to see several verses here. Notice verse number 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Look down in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Listen, folks, we celebrate Halloween. We're having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And then look at verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What am I saying? I'm asking that you consider the things that we talked about today. Consider these things, these seven reasons. Ask God what He would have you to do in this matter of Halloween celebration. Let's pray.